So welcome to the board meeting of Oral Homa Sanitary District for April 14. It is 5 p.m. I'll call this meeting to order and ask for a roll call, please.
Certainly. Director Simon. Director Dean.
Here.
Secretary Duncan.
Present.
Vice President Lee.
Present.
President Young.
And if you'll join me.
Yes, I pledge allegiance to the
flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have members of the public with us this evening. Are there any general public members online, Patricia?
There are three members of the public online.
Online?
Or just joined. I will put a message in the chat for anyone interested in making a public comment. Please raise your hand at the item which you wish to speak or send me a message in the chat.
This is time for general comment from the public. Your name is Lisa?
Yes.
You wish to speak at general public comment?
No public comment.
And the other is Michael? Or Mr. Bulatow, do you wish to speak under general public comment? I guess not. All right. Then we'll move to the people who are in our boardroom. I have one speaker for public comment, and that's Randy Waji. Randy, please.
Yeah, I'm here. I just wanted to let people know we're having our San Lorenzo Earth Day this Saturday, April 18th. We'll be picking up garbage around the area from 8 to 11 a.m. I always appreciate it when Oral Homa also attended. I know, I don't think they're attending this year, but Mimi Dean will be there with her own booth, which will be great. So hopefully all of you can come out and, you know, pick up some garbage. We'll also have a Earth Day Marketplace from 11 to 2 p.m. So it's a fun little, you know, San Lorenzo event. And I really like picking up the trash because there's so much of it floating around in San Lorenzo. People are always illegally dropping off trash. Anyway, thank you and have a good meeting.
Thank you very much for your comments. I don't see anybody else who wishes to speak under general public comment. So we shall move to item five. And this is a time for a public hearing on a transition to district-based elections, presentation on the overview and assessment of district maps published on or before April 1st, 2026. I would recommend that the board hold its questions until the presentation is made, and then you can ask clarifying questions. And then we'll open it up to the public and come back to the board. So I'll turn this over to Mr. Dang. Welcome back, by the way. I'll turn it over to Mr. Turner directly. Thank you, Matt.
Testing. All right. Good evening, everybody. So we've had a pretty good public engagement thus far, and we've had there are 18 maps submitted, and going through the analysis, and as we'll go over here, there are seven that meet the standards. So let's go on with the slide. So I'm just going to read this out loud because I think this is that's, you know, the cardinal sin of slideshows, but in this case, I think it's worth it. Using the five key criteria of the Fair Maps Act, we assessed that seven of the 18 maps submitted are suitable for consideration at the April 14th meeting tonight. And these elements are equal population with deviation less than 10%, contiguous as much as is feasible. Districts use boundaries that follow understandable and identifiable features such as roads, creeks, city boundaries, etc. Preserves communities of interest and is compact. That is, they don't snake out across the district. These criteria are mostly objective with the exception of preserving communities of interest, as there are many ways to define communities of interest, and I'll touch more on that later, and given the significant geographic, political, and special district interplay within the Oral Homa Sanitary District's boundaries, we've used the cities and official recognized boundaries of the census-designated places as the baseline. Once we go through these maps, we can begin a live editing workshop to modify them and test out the variations. Now, this slide deck is 60 slides long, so we're going to speed through this. This is mostly a homework packet. And if somebody wants to go back to a particular page or a particular map set, happy to do that once we've breezed through them. But I wanted to make sure that you guys had all of the detail as I took these maps apart. So next slide. Yeah. So here's this is a picture of the cities and all of the unincorporated areas separated out. And the following page from here is the demographic breakdown of that. If we go to the next slide. So one of the key things I wanted to ensure as we were looking at the, I'm gonna go to the previous slide, is that no one district should have the possibility of having more than two seats, and that the two largest districts, which are San Lorenzo, or largest communities of interest, or which are San Lorenzo and San Leandro, should be guaranteed at least one seat, if not, in the case of San Leandro, the ability to have guaranteed one seat and likely to have a second. And that's, in that way, no one community could have the possibility of having three or more seats, which is possible in quite a number of configurations. So let's move on. And we'll keep going through it. So this is sort of the quick diagnosis of whether maps met the standard or not. And as we had 18 maps, I wanted to make it just clear. You could see the thumbnail of what the rough configuration is. And all the maps are numbered as they appear on the UMapIt website, where they've been published. As soon as they're published by anyone who contributes one, they're considered published. So let's go through all of these. We can just keep flipping through. And in one case on map 55, I had a member of the public submit that one and contact me about it. And they had made some errors in the map that they had published, but you can't go in and change one without once it's already been published. So I helped them make that into map 56 so that it was it did meet the standard. And we'll just keep rolling through them. And then we're into these maps. So map 47, and if you want to take notes as we're going through this so that we can come back to these, if you'd like, then I think it'd be a great way to go through this. But for the sake of speed of the meeting, because we could spend 15 minutes on each map and we'd be here all night. But I'm happy to come back to these maps as we go. I'm going to go on a rough outline of some of the features here. This one takes advantage of a there is a bit of a loophole in being contiguous. If something doesn't have a way out normally through the district, you can actually separate them out along a long skin. In this case, with Hillcrest Knolls, if you're preserving a community of interest in such a way, as Hillcrest Knolls is part of Castro Valley, it could be included in that way. But it's not necessarily a best practice, but it is feasible. And this one, both San Leandro and San Lorenzo are guaranteed at least one seat. That's not true. I'll take that back. On this one, Hayward Acres and San Lorenzo together are guaranteed at least one seat, and San Leandro is guaranteed a seat. And that's kind of the baseline as we go through that. If you meet that minimum marker, then I was more interested in looking at the maps. So let's these, as we go through, there'll be a pretty significant demographic breakdown. And I don't know, I would ask the board for direction on how much time you might want to spend on these as we go through on the following pages. We can go through them quickly or more deliberately. Your time is the most valuable thing here. So I'll leave it to you. Excellent. Then
works for everybody. It's confusing enough as it is.
Yeah, there's a lot of data here. All right. So we'll just speed through these. And
I just ask you one question, Matt.
Yes.
Do you mentioned that out of 18 presented, only seven were usable. It wasn't your word, my word.
Yes.
Are those the only seven that you present here?
Yes, in the great detail, we're only choosing seven.
It's the first one.
Yes.
Thank you. If you would just make it clear which one is included as you move forward, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, and in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see that the number of the map is on every page as we go through. Right. Of the map we're talking about. So on each of these pages, it'll highlight one district and shows the demographic breakdown of that, both in general population, and then CVAP is California. That's the voting age population, census voting age population. So that's to citizens 18 and over. And the other is total population, and not including people who are non-citizens. So that's who's eligible to vote in a given election. So we'll just add, all of these will have the breakdown for every single iteration of each district. And so we're at map 49. Again, has this one also includes Hayward Acres and part of Hayward for San Lorenzo, guaranteeing everybody west of the 880 a seat, and also San Leandro is guaranteed at least one seat. And map 52. This one is Doris Marcial, for those of you who may or may not have known her, was a bit of the local historian for the unincorporated area. And she always insisted that the area around San Lorenzo High School was part of San Lorenzo and not part of Ashland. And there were others who agreed with that. And this map was produced by some of the citizens, and they proposed this as the map of San Lorenzo to guarantee San Lorenzo exclusively one seat, and also San Leandro's guaranteed one seat with likely two seats. And we'll keep going. So map 53, this one, yeah, has an interesting look. And this one uses a bit of a liberal interpretation of communities of interest, based on more on geography, freeways, major streets, to determine what the community is. In this case, San Lorenzo also includes parts of San Leandro and a bit of Hayward Acres, and has divided itself from the eastern side. San Leandro, again, guaranteed at least one seat. Yes. Yeah, and then some of the other communities are roughly similar to the same configuration on the other pages. We'll keep going. Map 56, an iteration on the previous map, with the only exception being somebody tried to make a better throughput from Cherryland to Hayward Acres and the southern part of Hayward there. And also using Doris Marcial's version of San Lorenzo. And map 60. This one almost exclusively separates out the actual census designated place definition of San Lorenzo. So this one, I think we're getting closer to something that really does recognize and preserve census designated places. And it does a better job of not carving Ashland. And in all of these maps, one of the more difficult elements is making it so that Ashland isn't cut into so many pieces. One of the risks of that is that you could have Ashland have four seats, and if you've divided it into enough pieces, while that may not be likely, that's certainly something to be avoided. As I'd said, kind of the ideal is to have no more than two seats for any given community of interest. And then lastly, 61. This one cleaves much more cleanly to the official census designated place lines. And there's also an exception for contiguity on the southern edge of San Lorenzo with Hayward. You'll see there's a couple of little green slivers that are part of the map there. There is no way on the housing development that's on the northeast side of the golf course. There's no way in and out of that but to leave the district entirely, the way the road is set up. And so that can actually be separated. The other is a parcel that is also in the city of Hayward that's not accessible any other way. And that's actually just part of the land that's out on the golf course that's part of the discharge authority that you guys share with them that's included in the district. So this one is so far is the one that I would recommend the most strongly, but that's just based on its ability to guarantee a seat for folks. San Leandro also is kept much more whole as possible, with only a smaller chunk overlapping with Ashland. And then Ashland, in this case, Ashland is only, it's only possible for Ashland to get two seats. And there is no single district on this map that can get more than two seats. And San Lorenzo can only get one because it's contained entirely. One of the things about this, though, is that the map population deviation gets offset. Almost all of the other maps, folks are focused almost to the exclusion of all else on population being as close to zero deviation as possible. And this one, it goes to about 8.5% deviation, where you know anything up to 9.9 is allowable, with the idea that preserving communities of interest may have a higher priority than total equality of population, so that you don't end up with one district having three or more representatives from it. And so we have a little over 2 weeks before the next draft deadline, and folks can come to the website and put in more maps. I'm going to be at farmers markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays across the area for the remainder of this time, and have library hours that I'm advertising on social media, where people can come and sit with me, and I can help give them tutorials on how to put maps in. I'm ready for questions.
I have just a quick question, then I'll turn it over to the board to clarify. Are any of the maps that you're presenting, are these any of them? I mean, my understanding is that you will be presenting five maps for us to consider. Is that in addition to what you have here?
No, some of the maps are here are mine, and I'm going to, based on public input, a big part of this is the feedback I've gotten from the public about communities of interest, and hearing from them as to how best to generate the legal maps. And so several of these maps are mine, but I'm going to produce more, so that based on the feedback I get from you all and from the public, to generate in this next round of maps, ones that are five variations of everything I've learned from you and the public about what your preferences are.
Public hearing, and I would ask the board if you have any clarifying questions. I mean, I have tons of questions, but clarifying questions before I ask the public for their comments. Director Duncan?
I just need to know, what is the deliverable for us as a board tonight? Are we supposed to decide on the ones that have green, whether we want to continue with them, or when we meet in May, will we look at these again and the new ones? Just a clarification.
I think that's a very good question.
So you can say no to all of these maps and say we don't like any of these and we want something completely new. That's completely reasonable. You have the discretion to do that. Or you could say there are three or four or maps that we really like. Or how about some of these other ones that were turned off because of only community of interest? And, you know, they met the other requirements. But you might say, you know what, actually, I have a different opinion about what the community of interest means, and I would like to pursue a given map on one of the 18 that was submitted that hadn't gone forward. So what I'm hoping to achieve tonight is to get direction from you all about what you like, what you don't like, and what you would like to see achieved so that I can pursue that in the maps that I create going forward, and also and as I take submissions from the public and certify whether they're legitimate or not, to, you know, to be able to guide that along towards the things that you want. Because ultimately, the five of you will decide which map you want to take. And it is in my interest and the interest of the public to bring you maps that you're going to like. And so from tonight, we want to get a feeling for what it is that you're looking for and what you can, as a group, agree upon that is in the direction you prefer.
Okay. Well, I guess my question is more to the process for the board. You know, how do we decide on what goes forward and what doesn't?
That's a very good question. I mean, we got all this material way in advance. We got it in advance. And I assume it was our business to go through all of this and try to interpret what it meant for us to ask questions. So I'm not sure. Alex, can you help with that?
I mean, one, the board doesn't, and that says, you know, flashing of Abby's.
Working.
Oh, look at that power you have.
The board doesn't, like Matt said, you don't have to make a decision today, but perhaps you could just, after we hear from the public and answer any questions, you can just list your comments of, I don't like any of these, or I like X, Y, and Z. And we can see as you each make your individual comments, hey, does it sound like there's any consensus now to provide some direction of, hey, Matt, make an edit, try to make a map that changes X or something. And if there's not, you don't need to make the decision tonight, you know.
I came prepared. I did do my homework. There's two that I like, but I'm at the will of the board, whatever is decided how we want to go forward.
Sure. So Director Lee has a clarifying question before we move on.
Okay. The second question is actually a clarifying question from last meeting, but on this meeting, so the question is a school district considered a community?
There is no limit on what can be considered a community of interest. It can be school districts, it could be business improvement districts, it could be HOAs. There really is no limit. But the one that has limits that are defined are the census designated places and city boundaries. And so because there are so many complex ways in that Orloma is a particularly challenging district in that regard, in terms of how to preserve and make contiguous any communities of interest, I went with the one that is not arguable. Everything else is something that's up for debate.
The reason why I asked that question is because in earlier meetings, we were talking about, you know, to be represented for the schools as well. That's why I brought that up as a clarifying question, right? The other question I had. Oh.
For the people online.
Oh, yes. My apologies. It was on mute. Okay. The second question, right, is really, you know, have we produced a cheat sheet in terms of how to export the shape files as well as the data from these maps?
You can do it right on the website. There's a little three-line thing up there. If you just click on that, it'll allow you to export data.
Yeah, I exported data, but it didn't give me what I thought I was hoping for, like which is like a shape file or the actual data within those.
If you have any
we
files
we
you
can
want to
get that offline.
Yeah, I'd be happy to give you anything you need. And that applies for any member of the public or the board.
Any other clarifying questions, Director Simon?
Matt, can you clarify which map are you recommending?
Right now, I think 61 does the best job of preserving communities of interest as defined by census designated places and cities, in that that no one community can get more than two seats on the board.
Okay, and you mentioned something about San Lorenzo High earlier, and then that should be included as part of the San Lorenzo district. Can you share how that relates to Map 61?
So it doesn't relate to Map 61 in that's not my personal opinion. That's opinion of folks who were in San Lorenzo, Ashland area, who and Doris Marcel, who is no longer with us, who was a local historian, was adamant that that portion of Ashland should be considered historically San Lorenzo. And so there are other members of the public who submitted maps that chimed in with that was their interest, and that's reflected in the maps that they submitted.
Okay, is on map 61, is that the railroad line that's separating districts 2 and 4?
No, on 61, the lines that are separating are always the lines that go with the census designated place lines from the county.
Okay, and so San Lorenzo High is in District 4 in Map 61?
San Lorenzo High is, I believe, in Ashland, in that map.
Is that 4 or is that 1?
I don't have it in front of me.
Can you bring it up, pull it up on the presentation?
Page 53.
We can actually go to the next couple of slides and get to District 4 and have a kind of a closer look right at that. And so in that one, yes, that's San Lorenzo High is there in no, it's not in District 4. District 4 is Ashland.
Thank you. Here, okay, and the creek, San Lorenzo Creek, is the dividing line, I take it? Yeah, one last question. So the creek, San Lorenzo Creek, is that the dividing line in District 1?
Yes, San Lorenzo Creek is the dividing line between Ashland and Cherryland.
Okay, thank you.
Other clarifying questions, Director Dean?
Thank you. Matt, if you had to pick your top three maps, do you have three in this collection that you would consider good enough for us, or is 61 kind of like
the one? I would say the last three, but 61 is my strongest preference. And I've already, based on this, I've already worked on some other iterations that are in the draft portion of the website. From what I've learned already, because I at no point am I stopping working on this stuff. As I'm getting input from the public, I continue to iterate maps, but I haven't published them until they're ready.
Can we go back and look at the slide that has map 53, please? Yes. I do not know what page it is. Let me see.
I'll tell you in a minute. Page 32.
At
53?
32
in our agenda.
Okay, I have it on 34.
So this map is San Leandro in three different districts?
It is.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. All right. So that is not one of your top three.
It sounds
like 56, 60, and 61 are your top. So are these kind of in order of, because they're in numeric order, but it sounds like they're also the last three numbers are the best ones.
The last three are, in my opinion, at this time, the best.
Could we go back and just look at the last three, 56, 60, and 61, and just look at those again? So this one here just has the old San Lorenzo. That's the big thing here.
Yes.
Is it still census designated places?
With the exception of the modified San Lorenzo, yes.
Okay. All right, then 60. And what is different about this one?
A slightly modified version of old San Lorenzo, and I think a cleaner line on the Ashland-San Leandro line.
Okay. Okay, and then back to 61.
And on this one, what I would personally have modified and would, is going to be for the next iteration, is to, rather than have the northern portion of San Leandro hook around like that, that it rather include Bayfair and then go along East 14th Street there, so that it doesn't create that kind of shape. It's a more solid block.
So what would that mean? The number three area would have to move over more to let the area by the number one change?
Yes, it's a 3-1 shuffle, but it doesn't actually change the three remains 100% in San Leandro.
Ah, okay. Okay, how does, okay. I think those were all my questions. Thank you.
Just one other question, you know, so, yes, one more point, you know, San Leandro, Washington Manor actually was a census designated place before it got incorporated into San Leandro. Was that also considered in this process?
Once there are city boundaries, that the city boundaries are considered in a best practice that they be the standard for census, or rather a community of interest, as long as it's divisible in a way that works. If, for example, this was just San Leandro, then absolutely, those previous census designated places or other metrics would come into play.
Okay, thank you for the answer.
One more question, and this is for District 5. Is that where it loops upward? Is that part of San Leandro, the upper portion near one?
No, that's Ashland and Castro Valley.
Okay, so it's Ashland that's a part of it.
Yeah, the avenues along a little bit of Mission and then East 14th and then the 580. And then so that portion of Castro Valley is known as El Portal.
I was trying to look at the difference. I guess the shape doesn't change from map 60 to 61. Am I looking at that correctly?
I think that's correct, yes.
All right.
Question clarifying.
Yeah, clarifying. Matt, do you have the capability tonight to interactively modify these maps? Like you mentioned,
yes.
61, you would do some changes. Can you share that with us later?
Yes, that's was my hope tonight, to be able to actually, okay, you know, manipulate these things, and we can see the data output live and take input.
Thank you.
Question had to do with your presentation on when you mentioned a large area and you said would guarantee two seats and maybe three, but maybe one or maybe two. What do you mean by that?
So in this map in particular, that the city of San Leandro has guaranteed one seat, very likely two seats. San Lorenzo guaranteed.
But what do you mean by guaranteed one and maybe two?
So
it was one person elected from each district.
Right. So but we're looking at districts that are spread across multiple communities. And so I'm going by the community of San Leandro. The city of San Leandro is guaranteed at least one seat, but very likely to have two seats. The census designated place of San Lorenzo is guaranteed one seat. But in this case, where it's confined only to San Lorenzo, they can only get one seat. So,
Matt, when you say it's likely that or guaranteed, does that just mean they're a majority of the population that's San Leandro?
No, for example, District 3 in this map is exclusively San Leandro. means only the people in San Leandro makes up 100% of District 3. So it's a guarantee that somebody from District 3 will be on the board.
And so when you're saying it's likely they'll have a second seat, is that because the second district, San Leandro, is the majority of that district, or just
a large part?
Well,
I think this is a very important point, and I'm happy to take the time to clarify.
Odd the way you say it. It sounds like I know both of you have.
No, I was going to challenge and say what you're talking about. It's similar to how the supervisors' board is. There's Oakland is represented by three of the supervisors, and I think that is what you're saying.
Right, and in that case, you could actually end up with three board of supervisors from the city of Oakland, and so in this case, it's for San Lorenzo example on this map. San Lorenzo can only have one elected representative, not more, and it's also guaranteed one representative, because the entirety of District 2 is in San Lorenzo, so. When you're looking at the map, there's no one can vote outside of San Lorenzo for that seat. So it'd be like this. Yeah.
I think I get it. So let's move on to the public comments.
Okay. Then.
I think I get it. But again, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So the first speaker I have, and thank you both for coming to the district. We do have people online. Did anybody indicate an interest in speaking, Patricia, online?
No one's raised their hands on Zoom. So if you'd like to make a comment at this time, please raise your hands or send me a message in the chat, please.
In that case, we'll move to the people who made it to the district and start with Chuck Meadows. Thank you, Chuck.
Good evening, Bard.
You need to turn the microphone on or hold it.
I believe it is.
Speak with your outside voice.
Your outside voice.
Okay. I didn't have any real specific comments because I can see this is a work in progress. And Matt is getting direction from you this evening. And I think you're asking the right questions in terms of getting clarification on precisely what is being communicated and what is being proposed. I do want to commend Matt. This is, I think, the third or fourth presentation I've seen from Matt. The community outreach he's been doing, I just wanted to commend him. I'm seeing him everywhere. I've seen him at multiple outdoor festivals, events. He's done presentations at smaller meetings. And I think that's really important to create the awareness. And this is tough to get people involved, but at least they're being exposed to this. And if they want the opportunity to participate, they can do so. Thank you.
Hello. I guess I'm sticking into it. It looks really good. I think 61, what Matt is recommending, looks really good. Thank you for keeping San Lorenzo a community of interest. I will say, when, you know, talking about Ashland, Ashland really wants to be independent, is how I see. So I think keeping San Lorenzo, like you mentioned, in the boundaries makes more sense to me, because even Supervisor Nate Miley has the Ashland Business District. So Ashland really is its own entity. So I don't really see, you know, mixing it with that. That's just my thought. Anyway, good job, Matt. You are amazing at this.
Have anybody raised their hand, Patricia? Okay, then I will assume anyone who's online does not wish to speak at this time. I don't see any hands raised, so I will close the public hearing and bring this item back to the board. That's correct, Alex. Thank you. Matt, for your presentation, I have a hunch there'll be a few more questions. So would anybody else like to make any comment about what you've seen, what you think, Director Duncan? I'm sorry. Yeah, Director Duncan, go ahead.
Well, Matt, you have done a great job because the public has been approaching me, and someone in the reason I know the answer to the question that you asked, one of the supervisors said for us to be careful because of the unincorporated I forget how she said it, but the way she said it, it could end up having a lot of power. And so I said, is it similar to the composition of the Board of Supervisors where Oakland has a lot of power? You know, and so she said, well, I guess you could see it like that too. And so I guess she was thinking that one of our districts, one of the five districts, to be careful that it wasn't, I guess, weighed in a way that one of the districts could have more power. But I did not see it divided like that, but I did understand Sheila's question about how could a city get more than one representative, because we have that now in the Board of Supervisors. As far as Oakland is concerned, three of their supervisors represent Oakland. So that was my only clue.
Right. Well, that's three because they
right, next three
whole
portions of each one is three. So
thank you for that.
Two reside in Oakland.
Yeah, but they
it's all about the weighting of the vote.
Right.
That's what it's about. Correct. Right. Director Dean, you had your hand up.
Sure. Is there anything that you think you could do to this map to make it even better, or is this pretty awesome?
If I could wave a magic wand, to Randy's point, being able to have Ashland be its own thing, it's just there just aren't enough people.
You can't.
You can't, and yeah. And so it becomes kind of it's the nexus where things can get chopped up quite a bit, and that's one of the greatest challenges in working on this map is trying to figure out how to balance the different communities and group them together. And the default was, I think, to come back to guarantee that San Leandro has a spot and a potential for a second. And then when I was thinking about that, I wanted to make sure that there was no one community that could get more than two. And many of the configurations that were submitted by the public, there were some that allowed to have four members that could be on the board from Ashland, by the way Ashland was divided up between the districts. And so this was sort of the evolution towards how do we, in all of the various considerations that you can come up with, how do you do it so that you give the best shot in each community having at least some representation?
So like you can't, like district 3 and 1, you can't have district 3 be only San Leandro because that would be too many people, right? And then Ashland district 1, if it was just Ashland, it would have too few people, right? That's why San Leandro and Ashland need to be mixed together to create district
Correct.
1, which gives San Leandro the potential to have two seats.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This map seems, yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, Matt, you said you wanted to modify this map 61 by getting rid of that little carve out at the top. Can you do that now? Can you interactively show up?
I can, yeah. I've already done a draft where that's the case. And it's I think it's draft 70 on the map. Yes, I'm not deleting anything. Yeah.
Thought you were going to.
Don't have
70 here, right?
Yeah, if it depends on the room's ability to connect to the web page. If we can do that.
Is it okay since it wasn't published in the minutes?
Yeah, you're just providing live direction on the future. And if you decide on this, it would be published before the next meeting.
Something where maybe Brett should work with Matt on how to create this after a meeting? Yeah.
Rather than doing it during the meeting?
I just wanted to know what this proposal is.
Maybe he could tell us what the proposal is.
I could actually stand up next to the screen and actually show with my hand.
That would be fine.
That'd be a workaround. You want to go? If we can go back to that slide,
you, Fred?
Happy to do it.
Okay. Yes, Matt, why don't you do that? Yeah, I know we're all having trouble with them.
The cursor every time.
While you're looking for that, Matt, I have a question. Is there any logic behind your numbering system? Why you got three and one next to each other?
No, it was randomly assigned by the as
computer.
people painted, and we can change the colors and the numbers.
If there was some logic to having one and three next to each other and two, four, and five.
No, and I think you find, like, looking at the Board of Supervisors map or many other maps, sometimes you wonder what was going on there. How the numbering is
supervisors, so.
but the mapping number is arbitrary and can be rearranged at the request of the board.
What the numbers are, I wondered if there was any logic to it.
Right. So
was that East 14th Street, the top of the light green?
Yes, this whole corridor here is East 14th Street,
the top of the light green on number one,
right here. Yes.
Okay.
And then. So my proposal was on the draft map that this area here, the blue basically shifts down so that it's contiguous from Ashland up to about right here. And then that becomes District 3. And then District 1, instead of being around that hook like that, is down here like that. So it keeps it closer together rather than having this gap. It's just more of a block. And that's... according to the Fair Maps Act, you know, keeping things as compact as possible, that leans in that direction.
But at the end of that blue, where you have the word San Leandro,
this
right where your finger is right now, what is that street?
The East 14th Street.
No, going horizontal.
I am not sure which one this is. This is,
is that like, could it be, it's not Chabot Road.
No,
I'm trying to figure out where I'm having difficulty looking at the printed maps as to what the street numbers are, street names are at the end of each configuration.
Yeah, like this is 150th is right down here. So without having the map in high res and zooming in, I couldn't tell you.
Well, no, the high school is at the very end at
139th. Yes, this is the high school. The high school campus, I believe, is right here.
So it must be 139th, because
that
that's
sounds
where the
right
high
to
school
me.
Campus is.
Can you share with the board this modified version? Not now, because we can't get it. But after this meeting, can you email it to the board?
Yeah, you know, and I can just publish it tonight, and you can see it on the
website.
Yeah,
isn't it in the draft file?
It's in the draft file.
It's there now.
There,
number 70.
Yeah.
Okay.
No worries. And you can see that. Sorry.
No, please. It's there.
Okay.
And you can see the streets if you enlarge on the website.
But you have to go on the UMAP at site to see them all. And with all of these pages, it was hard to go back and forth to try to figure out where all the delineations were.
That's Thomas Avenue, by the way.
Thomas Avenue, I don't even know Thomas.
I was going to say.
I know 139.
I'm getting giggy.
What?
What's the street number up to the north, or is 135th?
35. Mm-hmm. Yes. So is there any way that you could indicate in the white areas around the maps what the ending street numbers are or street names are?
You could go in and manually do that as we go on future presentations. I'd be happy to do that.
On the final five that we vote on, or however many we vote
Certainly.
On.
Certainly, I'll make note of that.
It's just confusing for me. I know I can go in on the map site and look them up,
but as you say, it is quite a thing to go back and forth.
That
yes,
dog up there, whatever that street number is.
Correct, and I wanted to bring that down, and so that East 14th wouldn't be the dividing line; it would be the railroad tracks.
Which railroad tracks?
The BART tracks, more specifically.
So that would be the dividing line between the blue and the green.
Yes.
On map 70?
Yes.
How would that impact the population?
It's the same. And by census block, I moved it so that it would be identical to the current configuration.
Right, but it's not here.
Correct, because it's in the draft section. It wasn't published before April 1st.
I'll look it up. All right, other questions, Director Lee?
So, you know, there's a couple of follow-up questions. You know, I did produce a whole bunch of community interest maps, right, which includes the school district. That's what prompted the question. I think if you shifted down to that area, that would be still with, you know, that would actually make that school district contiguous.
I think that's an excellent point. I'm going to make note of that as well.
Yes. And, you know, there's a lot of data here, right? And I think... it's a lot to digest, right? But I think you did a wonderful job. I did put out a couple of maps. And one of the things I did notice was after I saved the map, I noticed that some folks went in and edited the maps because I saw a change in the numbers.
Your initial number should never change from the one you get. But if someone goes and makes an edit of your map, yes, it will be assigned a new number.
Okay, yeah, because I did see in one of my maps, right, the deviation change, right, and I also saw that, you know, there was like outstanding populations that were put, because I reached zero, and I saw that the deviations actually changed.
Hmm.
So that's why I asked the question, because if somebody's able to edit my map, then that's clearly a security issue.
Yeah, we did an update on the Tiger files at one point, and it did shift things around by a less than statistically significant amount.
Okay, that could be it, actually.
Because there was even a map that I saw that had, you know, where it had unassigned population had been zero, and then went to one, and it was and it turned out that was left over from a fragment. So the umbilical cord portion of the map, where it's the center line of B Street there, that's actually grabbing little corners of other census blocks. And in some of those cases, they actually pulled in data from those. And so we expelled those, and that changed the numbers around a tiny bit. And there were a couple of little slices like that where there was a portion that had been included that we kicked out so that it wouldn't be pulling in data from outside of the district.
Okay. Well, thank you for the answer, because I did see the deviations go like from 5 to 9, right? And now it's back down to 0. At one point, it was just 1, right? So that makes sense then, right?
My wife and I are working on the website.
I understand. You said they, and I'm like,
oh yeah, I consider the website team, and you know, one of my cousins helps once in a while.
Okay,
who's a web developer, and you know,
but and that's yeah, what also prompted me as to say, yeah, I want to be able to save the file.
Yeah,
yeah,
space. Yeah, yeah. No. The our web team, you know, which is
all right,
primarily myself and my wife.
That makes sense. Okay,
it's they.
The web. I thought anyway.
Okay, I'll probably touch bases with you afterwards, or because I just want to be able to download the data as well as the shape files. Yeah, no, not necessarily the districts, but whatever shape files are available as well.
Yeah, so particularly if you're going to do a map of communities of interest, it should be able to export your own communities of interest so that you can have the deep dive data that you want from there. And if you're having any difficulty with that, please contact me, and happy to work one-on-one and get you the exported files you're looking for.
Certainly.
One-on-one, not the three anymore. Duncan.
Is it possible for us to get the map 70 tonight?
Yes.
Have somebody print it off for us?
But they don't have access to it now. No, the internet.
Whatever.
Well, who's answering my question?
I can once I'm done here, I can go and publish that, and then you'll have access to it to look at. If you had a tablet that you can look at your desk now, or at you know, after the meeting, you'd be able to see it.
I just wanted a hard copy to. include with this.
Matt, can you make it into a PDF and send it to staff, and then staff can get that out?
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
A lot of meeting to go, so you can work on that while we're continuing our meeting.
We'll be here till tomorrow, yeah. Okay?
Are there any other pressing questions? Okay, Matt, do you have enough to work on here? That I don't know if we've given you any direction. I think we've sort of given you a general idea.
I would like to hear if this is something that you're happy with, or this is something that you would like, you would really like a totally different direction, or I mean, some direction would be. I would love to get some strong opinions about where we're at. I'm familiar with the sport. I can take it.
I think other than seeing map 70, so we can see what that map looks like. I think here that people looking at your you recommend map 61 and 60 and 56. We'll look at those, but I'm not prepared to give you any definitive answer myself. I don't think anybody else is either.
I would agree that the ones you recommended is the one that we want to go forward with.
Well, until we see what comes out on the next day.
Yes, right. But I guess my question is, do we have to relook at all of the others? That was my initial question.
Well, I mean, you can look at whatever you want to. That's been. I would suggest, I mean, this is just me, because I'm not the expert cryptographer, whatever that word is, that if Matt says that 56, 60, and 61 are his best guesstimates, plus we look at 70, then I would say those are the ones we want to continue to look at and look at all the numbers and make sure that we're happy with where they are.
That's kind of what I said.
Yeah, that's kind of what you said.
Right, okay. I'm just saying, instead of having a plethora of maps, if we just have those four maps, I'm happy.
Yeah, if for the next meeting, and it's you know, I don't know how many maps might come in the next 2 weeks, especially as I'm doing more of a blitz of public outreach, but I will endeavor to really bring it down to a smaller number so that we can. That we can have a deeper discussion and hopefully we can get the live map editing working so that at our next meeting that if there's something that's quite close that you all like, but there we want to see how that might be iterated, we could do it live and then have a map that can be voted on.
Just curious how we're doing on timing. I mean, I'm really interested to see map 70. I know you're going to give it out to us later, but just from a productivity standpoint, can you work on that now as we continue the meeting?
I'm going to take while we do the rest of our meeting,
right,
and we'll have it before we leave here.
Right, but my question is, can we reopen this item at the end of the meeting and look at it and raise questions to you if we can do that?
We could, but only to this board, and I'm not sure that I want to stay after this meeting. We still have a lot of work to do tonight. You'll get the map. I mean, it's not like
I know we'll get it, but I'm just dialogue is nice, and we can't see what you're recommending. That's
concerning. If you want to contact me directly, and I can go over the details of it, and being mindful of not having a chain communication, that's a totally client attorney privilege kind of situation. I wouldn't talk about how you talked about that with anyone else.
That's not necessary. I'll wait.
Have it tonight before we leave here so we can absorb it and talk about it at the next meeting. Or if you have direct questions, you can talk to Matt. Does that work for you? Director Lee?
So, no, again, thank you. And again, I'm going to harp on the school districts, right? That the only weird carve out on the school districts, like most of everything that's west of 880, is the San Lorenzo School District in San Leandro.
Yep.
Except for Huron Bay, right? And Huron Bay is that weird carve out where it really is part of San Leandro School District. We will have, I think, four more community meetings, right? Which means that we still have some time to make some decisions. I wouldn't rush to judgment right now, right? But I think the information that you have given us and the information that you're going to give us this evening with the map it'd be helpful to have the map with that data, you know, because you did a wonderful job providing those data pieces that, so that we can read what's the content within each district. That I found that very useful.
I only have one request, final request. When you have your community meetings, would you say Oro Loma Sanitary District several times so people start to know who we are?
Yes.
Oh, that's my only big.
Great job, Matt.
Yeah, good job. So with that.
Sorry, one final thing that.
Yes, Mr. Mogg.
One final thing just for the board to keep, no need for comments or feedback today, but at the next meeting, you'll also need to provide us direction on the sequencing of the election, right? Three of these seats will be up at the 2026 election and two will be up at the 2028. And part of the direction we will need at the fourth public hearing is which districts go when. No information needed from the board yet, but that is part of what the direction will be.
Why wouldn't it's the people who are up, not the districts.
No, the
districts in November.
Correct, but that doesn't matter. We choose what districts go when, and then if your term is up and you live in a district that's up, you can run, or you can leave it, but we have to pick when which districts are going. At what election?
It makes sense to me, but I'm not sure that I. All right, you said we'll talk about it next time?
Correct.
Mimi, you had one final question or thought quickly?
Yeah. It just makes sense.
And that could be the direction of the board if you pick.
And we're not going to talk about it tonight.
Yeah. But I just didn't want, we didn't talk about it. I didn't want you to be surprised when the question came up next time of, oh shoot, we got to make this decision tonight.
Okay. Yes.
We have any examples from other local districts that have transitioned to provide us with direction as to how that works?
I'm sure we can
find
some.
Thank you.
The one thing I would note is that the Fair Maps Act is, 2018, 2019? Before that date, you could explicitly sequence things based on incumbents. But as you may recall, we're not supposed to base our maps on favoring or unfavoring an incumbent.
If someone lives in a district that we don't choose and their term is up, they're just gone.
Correct. For 2 years.
They could move.
Or they wait 2 years until their district comes up.
All right, I got it.
Castro Valley School District.
Okay, with that in mind, then I'm going to close the public hearing completely. Matt, you may go work on map 70. And
thank you, Matt.
We're going to move on. Short break, just a 5-minute break. We're going to take a break.
I thought it was officially licensed.
We have returned from our short break. Oh, he's there. I couldn't see Fred. So we will restart this meeting. And item 6 is a consent calendar, which consists only of the board minutes from March 24. Are there questions? Duncan Dean, looking right at you. Director Dean.
All right.
Yes.
I'm just looking at the 5.1, and it says that we received community input from a bunch of different people, but it doesn't say what they said. And I was wondering, when we're discussing something so crucial as this, you know, district mapping, could we have the public comment written out of what the people said? Is that at all possible?
I'm sure it's possible. I don't think that there was anything major said at that meeting. But your microphone is not on.
Maybe Director Dean, that
during 8.2, when we talk about the use of AI for meeting transcription and more detailed, because the district's practice now is really quasi action minutes of not sort of like an action. Like if you looked at the city of San Leandro's, it just says a motion was made to adopt the ordinance. It would pass 7-2, 7-0. And that's the only thing in the minutes. There's no description of any of the discussion. It only captures the actual action that was taken. Some places do a little like full, almost transcription. And if it sounds like if there's some direction to go towards that transcription, when we talk about 8.2, maybe that will address the concern.
I think her biggest concern, at least from what I hear, is for public hearings. And I think she's right. On a public hearing, we should have, if there's any cogent thing that's said, should be printed out. Anyway.
There was action items by the...
both the people who were here. But there was nothing...
No, but I'm just saying it was...
Right.
The action was that they would hope that we would consider keeping San Lorenzo together and
like. So knowing that, do you need to have these revised or
nope,
good?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
I would then. Calendar.
Director Lee, so moved.
Second. Somebody second.
Dean.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Moving on to item 7.1 is a resolution approving budget amendment number 2 of the budget for fiscal year 25-26. Mr. Dang.
Yes, the budget amendment number 2 addresses two major projects that were reviewed by the F&I committee and the construction committee. The two projects are the digester project and the sewer collection system pipeline, the sewer rehab projects that we have. For the digester project, we were proposing, requesting that we move money up from next fiscal year to this fiscal year to accelerate the phase 2 design because the consultants are ready to go. And phase 1 design is complete and out to bid. And for the sewer line replacement work, we have phases 8 and 9 in construction, and we have one last phase remaining, design of phase 10. And in order to accelerate that, to get that out to bid, we need to hopefully encumber that money. So we were asking to move that money up as well to this fiscal year from next fiscal year. And the total amount between the two is $7.5 million.
Questions, comments, and this 7.5 million, is this in the, is that money been set aside already?
Yeah, we have the money that in the bank currently.
Okay.
That I knew we had a conversation about it. Okay, does that mean that we'll get the money reimbursed from the loans that we had?
Yes, most of that, as long as it falls under the total $50 million between
right.
SRF and WIFIA, we'll get that back.
Right.
Correct.
That was my question.
Thank you. A motion to approve the resolution.
So moved.
A second, Director Duncan.
You need a roll call vote on this?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
It's okay, Alex.
It's our practice. It's not required.
We do. At Oralomo, we do resolutions with roll call vote.
It's okay.
Some people do. Some people.
Yes.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Thank you, Director Dean.
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
And President Young?
5 ayes. Motion approved. Resolution passes. Thank you. Now we'll move on to board discussion items. 8.1, discussion on the draft memo of understanding between Orloma and the school district, San Lorenzo School District. Mr. Dang.
Yes.
Welcome back, by the way.
Oh, thank you. At a prior board meeting, not the last one, but perhaps the one before that, we received direction from the board to incorporate the comments from the board. They have been incorporated into this draft that you have in front of you. Most of it is going to be included in the red line. Today, we're asking the board whether or not this is a suitable draft that we can bring to the district, the school district, for discussion on getting their comments, whether or not this draft is okay with them as well. I do know that there was some significant commentary at yesterday's Solid Waste Committee meeting related to some of the items in here. I'm not sure if Director Duncan, Director Young, President Young want to share any of that that may address, may provide additional commentary to this draft. If not, that's okay. But staff is looking for additional direction today to share this with the school district.
Yeah, I'll just say that after our meeting with WM, we found out that they had a lot of experience working in the schools. And I asked Virginia at that time, would she look at our MOU, you know, to see if she could recommend any changes and things. She wasn't able to do so, but she did say that we may be cautious of how we roll it out because the teachers may feel overwhelmed by it and maybe we should do a phased approach. And I thought it was a good recommendation. I don't know if Zanetta have any more to add, but that's what I got from her comment. She's nodding her head.
Exactly. It's exactly what happened. I think we, all of us, felt it was a good idea. Now, whether you could, you would want to change any item in the MOU, perhaps is a different question. We could indicate at some point to the school district that we would do a phased approach, maybe not four times a year, but maybe two times a year or two times a year on some of the training, just so they don't get overwhelmed.
But they needed to make sure that they understood what the overall goal is. And it's, you know, it's not a watered down, it's a phased approach. And so that's my only comments.
Then perhaps, I know there's more comments from the board. Perhaps we take this to the school district as is, but have that dialogue after we seek their feedback and see kind of what that looks like first.
That makes sense.
So I think we have a draft copy and we have a final copy, both in our agenda, so you can see what it looks like without the red marks. So are there additional comments from the board? Director Lee?
Just a real quick comment. It's in our best interest that we partner together with the schools, and if they win, we win, right? We don't want them, obviously there's a financial incentive for them not to step away from this. Right. But our goal is just to work together with them because they're going to help us succeed in the future.
So I actually, there is an incentive for the school district to participate. I don't think it's in our best interest to try to push the issue of, well, if you don't comply, we're going to charge you. But I do think it's important in the final sentence at the end of this report, where it says, if the district wishes to discontinue participation in this partnership, it shall provide written notice. It should also indicate that if they decide not to participate, that the services would be no longer free. I don't know how you, I mean, there's probably a better way to say that, but just
so it's fine.
So it's clear that if they decide not to participate, that they would have to pay. And then I'm sure in your discussions with them, you'll tell them how much that is. So I don't have a problem if you want to talk about these issues when you continue negotiations.
Yeah. So if we're going to go down that, if we're going to go that route and put that in there, that they will eventually be charged, how long are we going to give them to be in compliance before we decide that we need to start charging them? 2 years, 5 years, 1 year? What are you thinking?
Well, they may decide in negotiations they don't want to do it at all, which would mean it would start right now.
Okay. Okay.
Good question. Definitely bring the feedback back from the school district about that.
Sounds good. And I didn't see any stipend for whoever is the site lead. Did I miss something, or can you talk to me about where that is?
So one of the things that I will be having the conversation with the school district, is the direction of the board was to find out from them if we could give directly stipends to the teachers or the site leads, or if that would be something we would give to the school district and then they would kind of distribute that. So that is one of the things that I'm going to have a conversation with them about, to bring more feedback to here to the board so that we can decide whether, you know, what the amounts are or what we would want to consider. Okay, because so I think there was some conversation. Yeah, so it doesn't include any specifics just yet.
I didn't even
there is mention about the incentive.
Can you show me where that is?
Yeah.
What number that is?
Yes.
I just thought it would be under like 2.2, since that's where it talks about it.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit later.
12.
Yeah.
Program compliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It says to encourage and recognize successful implementation of program requirements, OROLOMA may offer a monetary incentive to schools that demonstrate consistent compliance with SB 1383 program standards. And it kind of allowed there literally.
Okay. So it says to schools. So I'm just a little worried that it goes to the school and it doesn't go to the person doing all the work. And so, you know what I mean? So could we say to the site coordinator or school, could we put the language in there like that?
So depending on the conversation with the school district, we'll be able to determine.
I think it's dangerous when you say to schools, because then the person who's doing the work doesn't get the stipend.
Yep.
All right. Those are my questions. It's looking better and better.
Yeah, I agree with Director Dean's comment. I think the incentive should go directly to the teacher or site coordinator, whoever. I'm very concerned about that, because that's the incentive.
That's the incentive.
It might just go into some pot and they'll never see it. So I would be very strong that that should be in there. My second question is, I've brought this up a few times, and I know this is completely different than what any of these schools do. And I brought this up from my visit to Japan 2 years ago. Was the children there help clean up the rooms. They help clean up in general, and that's how they know how to better clean and recycle things. Has that dialogue ever happened with the school district on seeing if they could have some programs where the kids get more involved in actual cleaning of the school?
So we, during our negotiations, we also bring in Stop Waste and their team works really closely with schools in order to make sure that the students are also aware of the whole program and are also participating not only during lunchtime, but also during school time. So they are active in the conversation, and we're trying to establish and figure out how we can get the curriculum in the schools to have the students be engaged as well. Does that answer?
Could you summarize that?
Yeah, so basically... we're working with OROLOMA, and the school district is also with Stop Waste. We're working with Stop Waste to integrate the students' participation in cleaning up or recycling correctly in the classrooms as well as the lunchrooms.
That somewhere in this agreement?
It is not yet, because we haven't finalized anything.
Okay, when will that be done before this agreement is finalized?
So it depends on whether the school district agrees to do that with Stop Waste directly, or if we will be overseeing that.
Okay. I'm interested to see how that pans out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important. Otherwise, I just see a lot of it as more of the same.
And I may have heard, I forgot where I heard this, but the janitors unions or something may have a concern with kids cleaning up instead of them. Have you heard of this before?
Not really. I think the concern mostly from the janitors is that the students are not doing what they're supposed to. Not that they are, you know, going to take away their jobs or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, I look forward to an update on that, please. Thank you. Excuse me, custodians.
Director Duncan?
I just want to follow up on a comment that Director Simon made. If, Zanetta, if you're saying that you're trying to decide whether this the student's involvement is going to go through Stop Waste or to Oma, or Loma, so you're saying you're having conversations with Stop Waste, and then once the decision is made, how, if it's them or us, will we continue to be a part of it?
So I would say that's also part of the conversation. So we do have certain things that we request. Like, for example, we're asking for students to watch videos, do sorting activities, but we are involving also Stop Waste to do certain audits for at the schools on behalf of Oraloma. But there is definitely that component of curriculum and also student involvement that was there before COVID. And so the school district, as well as Stop Waste, are trying to reestablish that. So I don't necessarily, or we don't necessarily want to not have that happen if it was working before. But also figuring out, of course, you know, how can we support Stop Waste and the school district relationship? And the, according from what I've been hearing from Stop Waste, they're definitely on board with what we are doing with the MOU, and they are sort of on our side, right, to say, yes, please enter into this MOU, because this, we can, you know, we can all work together to have a better student engagement, teacher engagement, and better outcomes at the schools.
Okay. Because my concern again is, and we talked about it a little bit on Monday's, seemed like a lifetime ago, but on yesterday's meeting, that, you know, if we provide them, the teachers, with the curriculum and what we want them to do, it's less thinking and preparation that they have to do. And if Stop Waste is going to do that, yay, instead of us taking the lead. But for me, it's better if we're involved in it, but not taking the lead.
Yeah, and as you can tell, I think in the MOU, it does mention a couple of times Stop Waste, because we are, you know, using their, or planning to use their resources.
Right. Okay, I'm good. Thank you.
Stop Waste has, at one time, Stop Waste had a program at Arroyo, I think it was Arroyo, where they had total student involvement, which was, I don't know what happened there. That was before COVID, I think. Anyway, so any additional questions, comments? So you'll go forth and have your negotiation and report back.
Yeah, I anticipate there will be comments on this from the school district, and we'll bring it back to the board, and the board will have another opportunity to discuss those comments and then decide what they want to do with the MOU.
Yeah, Director Lee.
With this agreement going forward, is it, do you know if this, they're also going to be presenting this with their school board? They will be? Okay. And I think one of the things I mentioned in prior meetings is we should find out if a city of San Leandro is going to have that joint session. We can also speak to that public comment at those joint sessions.
And one last.
You mentioned that. I mean, I don't know why we should rely on San Leandro. If this, I think this board could clearly have a joint meeting with the San Lorenzo School Board. I think they would welcome the opportunity to meet with us. So just a thought for a future negotiation. Yes, Director.
I was just going to say, and if they don't want to meet with us, you can always go to their meeting and force them to listen to you during public comment.
All right, then I would entertain a motion. What am I doing here?
So moved.
Oh,
I did want to add one thing is that once we get comments from the district and we get further along the process to where there is a much more solid agreement on the terms, we'll have legal involved and do a final draft.
Does not require a motion, it is discussion only. So we will move on to item 6. Okay, moving on to item 8.2, discussion and use of AI for meeting recording and transcription. At the request of Director Dean.
Yes, so Director Dean brought up a good point about documenting more literally what is said in meetings. So just a reminder, the board did adopt recordings back in December, I believe, updating that policy. But this is slightly different in the sense that Director Dean mentioned using AI to help with transcripts on our meetings and so forth. What I did include in this agenda is the AI policy that was adopted by the board maybe about a year ago. And one thing I didn't want to point out is, yes, AI can definitely help us with the majority of the work of transcribing meeting minutes and so forth. But in this policy, it does state that whoever is recording it is ultimately responsible for making sure it's accurate. So even though it's being transcribed, staff will still have to go over the transcription and make sure it matches up with the video, just to make sure there's no errors or nothing is wrong. So I just want to add that piece of information for the discussion.
Noticed in our AI policy that we specifically prohibit the use for transcribing meetings unless authorized without proper authorization. What if we could try a sample product on maybe this meeting? I mean, I don't know.
You generally have to turn it on at the start of the meeting.
Oh, the AI?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, well, maybe we could do the next meeting and sort of try it out. I'm a little concerned about whether AI can actually pick up intent and the different voices and the intent of the voice and the inflection in the voice and how things, sometimes something in writing that came out of somebody's mouth, it doesn't quite sound the same when you read it. But anyway.
You don't have to be more diligent about using our microphones too, because if it doesn't pick up our voices, it won't. You're going to have a gap in that transcription.
So I guess the real question is, do we want to try this or not?
Well, I'm okay with it for our board meetings, but I'm not comfortable with it for committee meetings, because I think that's a little free-flowing period. So, you know, I don't have an issue with the board meetings, but I do with committee meetings.
So I actually had a couple of comments on this, and I just want to make it clear that I am very supportive of this. We should pilot this, but in the long run, the resources that are going to be responsible for, you know, reviewing and looking at the content should be trained in both PII and PHI, because if they're not trained in those areas, and they see and they gloss over PII or PHI, then that can become an issue, and particularly on PHI.
Idea what that means.
So HIPAA had, PII is personally identifiable information. And PHI is protected health information. We could say, for example, Zanetta is out sick. Well, you know, technically speaking, we cannot put that in because that's considered PHI.
So if it's something said in a public meeting, it's said in a public meeting, and the minutes should reflect that. We aren't, you know, for HIPAA purposes, we aren't a covered health entity. So HIPAA doesn't apply to us. We still, you know, when documents are released, redact them, you know, in response to Public Records Act. But if it's said in a meeting, it's said in the meeting, the recording will capture it as well. And we just should be cautious not to say anything like that in public meetings. The other thing we could do also for starting is continue to have our minutes as
they are now, and then just attach the transcript to the end of the board meeting with a note that, you know, this has not been reviewed by, you know, has not been reviewed for accuracy and is just the AI transcript. And then we still have the formal minutes like we do now, and then there'll be something on it. So if you ever have a question in the future, maybe we don't rely on those AI minutes, but you go look at the AI minutes and that gives you a sense of, oh yeah, that was how I remember the discussion. I'm going to go look at the video recording now to get actually what happens. If there's a concern about the accuracy of the minutes or someone having to sit there and read line by line, you know, is this exactly what was said?
Is that, is that double duty? I mean, because we have the recording and then you're saying we have in the AI and then you're having the
video.
I don't know. I just think it's,
yeah, well, in that, I thought
it's not the work, it's just so convoluted. I mean, either we have our minutes and we work on getting our minutes right, and then we have the recording. I don't know, you know, I guess AI is a new tool, but it just seems like an awful lot.
It's up to, I was simply, it's totally up to the board trying to address the concern that having these, relying on the AI as sort of the 100% accurate depiction of the meeting, like we could make a note that it's, you know, not the formal record, the existing minutes are, and that's just for convenience, but may have mistakes in it or something like that.
Simon.
Remind me, how long do we keep the video recordings? Are they audio or video?
Audio for 1 year.
To just audio. We have no video.
Website, you mean?
My question is, do we have, we have audio. Do we have video recording of our board meetings? We do. And those are kept for how long?
Now a year.
Okay, so on the website.
It's that December.
The website is only audio. And it's only for 90 days, correct?
No, because
it's a year now on the website.
Policy we updated in
December. But we also keep the record of the video and audio on our servers up to a year, correct? Okay.
Okay, so
starting in December.
Okay, so the website has audio for 1 year, but we internally have the video for 1 year.
Correct.
Okay. And the AI transcription is to document. What we're talking about here, a concept, is to document longer than a year what happened in these meetings. That's the dialogue we're having today?
No, my understanding is the dialogue we're having today, and I believe this is from Director Dean, is to capture the actual dialogue in words. Is that what you're looking for? Yeah.
Okay, and then that would be captured for more than a year. Because right now, after a year, it's gone.
Well, that would just...
Well, that's a new policy. That's something that the board needs to discuss.
Well, before that, it was like 90 days or something, or 60 days. So we just moved it to a year, my understanding is recordings. So...
Right, and there's nowhere in the policy that talks about transcriptions. So that would be a new item we would have to adjust in the policy to, if the board chooses to add that.
Right.
So if you want it to be a year, it can be a year. If the board wants it to be infinity, it can be infinity. But we don't have a current policy on there right now.
Right. Well, this AI transcription, once it's in writing, then it's there forever. It doesn't go away. Well, which is
the district has a record retention policy for all of its records. So we don't keep every document forever. We have a policy just like every public agency about how long documents are kept. So like, you know, our contracts with vendors, we don't keep them forever. We keep them. This is a made up number, but maybe 2 years after the end of the contract or something. And there's an adopted policy that lays all of that out. And some things are kept forever. So our official minutes are kept forever. But it's up to the board, you know, do we want to keep these, if we do transcriptions, do we want to keep these informal transcriptions forever or for 2 years or 1 year or whatever, that's something that would need to be added to the records retention schedule.
So the official minutes are kept forever? The hard copies
or electronic or whatever, they are kept forever. Is that in a policy or is that a requirement?
The records retention policy is a policy in binding. I think that is in state law too, the minutes and copies of resolutions. Every organization I'm aware of keeps all their ordinances and resolutions and minutes forever.
One quick correction, Fred. It's 90 days for the website. It's 1 year for us to keep internally. Yes, sorry.
If the public wants to get access to it after 90 days, do we give it to them if we have it?
If they do a PRA, yes.
Okay. I mean, I do see the value. I know it's, I do see the value of it. And I know it's new technology and it may have its flaws. But I do like Alex's point about the disclaimer, this may not be perfect, but this can help you. So I mean, I do see some value if it's a matter of a computer system just running through our video. And that way, if someone wants to find something rather than listening to 2.5 hours of meetings, they could scan it quicker. So I'm not like, I do see value here. I do.
Okay, that's fine. I just wasn't sure. I couldn't remember who raised their hand.
I agree with Director Duncan. I think free flow of information in committee meetings is a valid reason not to use AI, and I would not be comfortable with that in a committee meeting. I think if everybody agrees, I don't know what everybody thinks, but if we're going to do it, I think we should try one time because we're now going to be asking Patricia to do more work, and she's already doing double duty in a lot of areas. So whatever is the easiest and quickest for her administrative work, I think is what we should be talking about.
So my understanding, and if this is the will of the board, would be that we will incorporate using AI technology to get a transcription of each board meeting on the page where we have board meeting recordings. We'll have audio recording.
You mean
of
you put it on the website?
I think
not,
that's
not if you're not going to actually have a human being go through it and make corrections. I would never do that.
So that's, I think, the, you know, what Alex is suggesting. I hear support from Director Simon, but I guess that's, you know, for the board to discuss is whether we,
if the board has a copy of an unedited copy of AI. But I think it's critical that you give, if you're going to give it to the public on our website, it has to be correct. And that would mean more work for somebody on staff.
Or, I mean, the thought I had, and again, it's up to the board, is that it's attached to the minutes as an unofficial transcript that may, and with a note on the cover page, it just says unofficial transcript has not been reviewed for accuracy. It's up to the board.
Well, at this point,
do you think using this AI is going to actually relieve you of some duties, Patricia, or is it going to make more work for you? It seems like if it's doing the transcribing, are you also doing it?
Well, we do. Yeah. So that's the thing, is like action style minutes will remain the same. The minutes will remain the same. I'm doing the minutes here, you know, so when we end this board meeting, I've completed my minutes since that's what I'm working on actively.
Okay.
Here. So yes, if we do decide to get AI to transcribe the recording, and that's, again, it's at the will of the board, whether we're comfortable with putting it out there and say, hey, this is what AI transcribed for our meeting, has not been reviewed for accuracy, or if you, the will of the board is to have it reviewed for accuracy, then yes, I will have to compare the recording. So, you know, if it's a 5-hour meeting, I'll watch the 5-hour video. If it's a 1.5-hour meeting, I'll watch the 1.5, and I'll be reading the transcription. So it's at the will of the board, you know, whether the accuracy is the priority or whether the availability is the priority.
Have to make it available to the public? Could it be in our board resources instead?
That's, of course, at the will of the board as well. Yeah.
Could it be emailed to us? Like, does it have to? Because then we'd know it was a rough draft.
Yeah. So the question is it going to be the accurate reviewed minutes, transcripts, or not? If it's not, AI simply records it all and transcribes it, and we can simply print it, PDF it, send it. There's very minimal work with that. But if it needs to be verified for accuracy, that's a whole different,
Right.
right? So that's the question for the board.
And I understand that. And it seems like if it's just for us, do we really need it verified? I'm not sure that we do if AI is listening to us. How much are we already using AI in your work, Patricia, Janetta, Liliana? How, because I know you've mentioned before that you felt like AI was going to help you and free you up to do other things. So are you feeling like it's making more work for you? Or are you feeling like it's helping you? Can you talk a little about that?
At no point should like my workload be something that keeps the will of the board from happening. So this to me, that the request that you're asking, I will happily fit it into my workload. It's not going to overwhelm me at all. If it's a good, tool for the board to have, and it's going to remain internal, then yes, providing that. And I have certain things and certain time frames, like publishing the minutes that you have just approved. That's something, a follow-up. So I have a follow-up list that happens after every board meeting. Including this is very minimal impact to me. So I appreciate the thought for my workload. But yes, providing a transcription using an AI tool and then internally, either on the board resources webpage, directly by email, whatever is, again, the will of the board, I am more than happy to make that happen for you.
I would suggest, Alex, that if you put something in writing and give it to the board, it is a public document. So it would never be just for us.
It certainly is a pub. Any document we have, if we're providing to the board, would be a public document. Someone could request it, but it wouldn't be, on the website to just go and look at, but someone could request it.
Real quick, I think Ari said that we should pilot this because I think this is a tool that can be used. There's going to be lessons learned. I would not be, there are other organizations that I sit on that use AI as a transcribing tool, but they don't provide that in the minutes. What they use that for is references to their minutes, so that way they capture the notes that they may have not left in. I think when we review the minutes and we say, hey, something's missing from here, we can always reject the minutes and ask, request the district secretary to include some comments that were like in this last case. But really, it's a tool to help make the job easier, not to create more work.
Other comments, questions, about comments?
I have an issue if we're going to get the AI and AI, if we're going to use it for our minutes and then share it with us. I don't need any more paper. I'll be very honest. And if I have an issue with, the notes and things that you're taking, then I can bring it up. I agree with, and I'm surprised
You're surprised.
about that it should be a tool for you. I don't necessarily need to get a recording of the AI minutes, but I know, in all respect to Director Dean, she likes, I mean, she wants to know, and she wants to know what's happening in meetings and stuff, and I can respect that. But again, I'm not interested in AI as far as notes for me as a board member. I am interested in AI to help you to make sure that there's accuracy in our minutes. And I definitely am not going to agree with AI being used in the committee meetings. So that's kind of where I stand.
So I guess the first question is, does the whole board want to attempt a pilot project using AI for board meetings? Shall we do one meeting and see how it goes? Attach it as a separate document to our minutes for the next, not this meeting, it'll have to be the next meeting. So shall we try a pilot with one board meeting and have it not be in paper, but as an electronic document or not? So that's really the question here.
But I thought it will become a public document
if it's.
Well, if somebody wants it.
No, if it's attached to the minutes.
Yeah.
It's, well, then
it'll be a published record.
Okay.
So is it the desire to have it emailed or on the board resources webpage to have it available to the board and keep it internal? And is there a preference whether to email that directly to you on, you know, the Wednesday following the board meeting or board resources webpage?
Isn't that public?
Literally the same amount of work.
Public.
No, the board resources webpage is not. You have to be a user. That's why you all receive that streamline user, create your registration. Only the five of you, Jimmy and myself, have access to that page.
So the place of the store is not public. If someone submitted a public records request to us to say, we want all transcripts of meetings you have, we would have to provide that.
Exactly.
Yes.
Public records request can ask for your personal email too,
mm-hmm.
and your personal phone records. So, yes, Mr. Dang.
I'd like to make a suggestion. Sounds like there's some level of interest amongst the entire board to see some version of this. So how about we try it one time? We'll record it with AI next board meeting, and we'll email you the transcript. We can talk about it after that, because if the board ultimately wants to adopt something, it will trigger some policy changes as well. And before we trigger any policy changes, I want to make sure that the board is happy with the result of the AI recording first.
Sounds good. Not interested in getting it. So, as I said, I have too much paperwork. But I won't stop the other four board members if they want to. Patricia, you can exclude me from that email. Your minutes are enough for me.
I review everything electronically in front of the computer, so it's still electronic to me.
So then I just need to see a show of hands on trying a pilot. We'll see, we still get three. So we'll try a pilot, exclude Director Duncan from your email. Just don't send her a copy
of the paperwork.
Well, it can't be paper, but just
electronic. Look,
you don't want to.
I'm on too many boards.
I guess we'll try it. We're not instituting it as a public, I mean, as a permanent policy move. We'll just do a pilot and see how it goes. But isn't the next meeting, is our next meeting no public hearing? Oh my God, I don't want to do AI on that meeting.
The next meeting is in the public.
Okay, next meeting.
This one, yeah.
A work session coming up. Okay. All right. So, is that the plan? Are we going to do this on a work session? Board meeting. The board meeting would be the 24th, whatever the day, 28th. I'm so lost now. So the 28th is a board meeting. Let's stick with the board meeting and not try to do this at a work session, which also can be somewhat challenging with this board because everybody wants to talk at once. And I don't want to stop that. So, and I think AI would be confused enough. So if the three people who raised their hands are okay with doing the next board meeting and trying this out, then that's the plan. One more.
Well, can the AI figure out who is who when it transcribes? It can differentiate between people's voices.
It differentiates by speaker. So then we'd probably have at the top, say speaker one is Fred Simon, speaker two is Mimi Dean, speaker three, you know, we do that.
But Sheila usually calls on us by name. Although she does call me a different name.
She tells me.
That might get messy.
It would be interesting to see how AI handles that moment now. So I think.
Yeah, maybe it can be trained to figure out our voices.
That's
That's interesting.
It'll just say speaker one, two, and three. It'll always know my voice because mine is all that gravelly voice. All right, so I think that there is a decision, direction from this board. Board meeting, not committee meetings, and a pilot for the next board meeting. Straight? Everybody got that straight? Mm-hmm. Okay, then we're moving on to item 8.3. Discussion on expansion of the kiosks.
Yes, this was a request of Director Dean to discuss expanding the current KPIs to enhance clarity and understanding of performance information. Staff doesn't have anything to bring to this discussion currently. This was a request from Director Dean.
So I think it's really hard when you only have three options, you know, the red, the yellow, or the green. And that's a very small, you know, you're either doing a terrible job, a medium job, or excellent job. And I think that it needs to be more spread out on like a 10-point rubric. I think that's more reality. You know, when we grade stuff in schools, that's what we use, 10-point rubrics. Or at least 5-point rubrics, not a 3-point rubric. So it just gives you more information and lets you be able to more accurately show how what kind of job you're doing.
Anybody want to make a comment, Director Lee?
You know, I've worked actually in business intelligence for the last 30, 40 years, and then we did it that way as well. And we saw that we had the least amount of responses. When we changed, even for projects that we worked on, red, yellow, and green, people respond. People took action. Interpretation is really, you know, that's why we call it business intelligence. When you look at a dashboard, you already know when you're going too fast. You already know when you don't have enough gas. For some people, it's below a quarter tank. For some other people, it's above a quarter tank. That's red, yellow, green makes it very easy to understand. Now, KPIs are not really red, yellow, and green. KPIs are generally when, like, for example, when we take a look at our entire district and it costs this much to run it every single year, you divide it by the total headcount of the people that you service. And that's, for example, a KPI in comparison to other districts. KPIs are basically a performance indicator from looking at a very simple number on, like, for example, the population that you serve, the work that you do, the hours that you put in. That's what a KPI. The red, yellow, and green just tells us whether or not we're performing, you know. And if we're in the yellow, then we're technically, we're actually below par. We have to be in the green to be performing.
Anybody else want to weigh in on this? I personally think that what we have is certainly okay with me. Parks and police and recreation. So I don't think it's broken, Mimi, and I'm perfectly fine with the way it is. So that's my comment. Fred?
I think there's a few examples maybe over the past year where we'll look at something and it'll show green, but we as a board, or at least some of us on the board, believe that it's not green, that it's not satisfactory, it's not fulfilled that goal. I think that's the issue we're trying to drill down to. That's what we're trying to clarify. We need to better define whether it's green or yellow. I'm not sure if you need more granularity to do that or what that process is. But that's my understanding. So I don't know, Jimmy, do you have any feedback on, or can we get some feedback perhaps on that?
Yeah, so
areas on our, they're not KPIs, they're actually the strategic goals that have this color code. Those goals, the intermediate goals don't change frequently, right? So the long-term goals are every 10 years or every strategic plan cycle, and so are the intermediate goals. The updates that we provide on the very right column on all our committees give you a status update on whether or not we're going to meet the goal by the end of the year, if we're going to be at risk of not meeting the goal, or if we're not going to meet the goal by the end of the year. That's what the indication shows currently. So in some sense, it's real time in the sense that, hey, let's just assume we'll do a fiscal year. We get goals for the committee. Actually, they're calendar year goals. Say in February, there's a goal that says complete a sewer rate study by September. It's going to be green because we intend to meet that goal by September. Now, throughout the months that go by, if staff or myself feel, hey, we're at risk of not meeting it, it will turn yellow because September's coming up and we're at risk of being delayed for whatever reason it is. And if we feel, hey, it's September goes by, it's yellow, and we're like, oh no, December's coming up, we're not going to get a consultant to do it in time, it will turn red. So that's how those get updated. I'm not sure going to a scoring system is going to help with identifying how much of that is getting. Assigning it a score of 7 doesn't tell staff, or I don't think the board either, the probability of meeting it. We'll provide that dialogue, and it's either going to be yellow or red. And that will drive action with the staff.
We just had a recent example of that in the solid waste committee because, number one, we don't have the study that talks about our, and also the goal for the strategic plan says that just providing receptacles to the school meets that. And so we will forever be in the green. But what I had recommended when we were last discussing this is that perhaps when we go over the goals, if there's been some recent updates, that those things are noted for the particular goal, and that would let in the minutes show that there was some activity on that, because I think that that's what's missing. Because when I looked at the the KPI that's around the schools, to me we're not meeting it, but based on what the strategic goal says, we are. So I think that's where the disconnect is when you look at those three, red, yellow, and green. Because we haven't done the study on, how much is going in the landfill. And thank you. I was trying to find that. My brain would not retrieve that word. But that study, and as well as we just recently went to train the janitors. And so in my thinking, that should have been yellow. But because we have defined it differently, that's why it stays green. So that's just my comment on the subject.
And that's a big problem. It shouldn't be green. It should be what it is right now, the reality, not what it's going to be. I mean, you don't give a kid an A on a paper because you think they're going to do a great job on it. You wait till you get the paper, then you grade it, right? So I don't really understand how we, that's where this all came from, is the schools. The schools always getting greens and still getting greens when we know that we have issues with our school program. So
changing the number system isn't going to fix that. I mean,
all right,
not
well, maybe
the number system, but the...
Yes, maybe making the yellow in progress. So progress, and we'll provide the detailed activity on the right as Director Duncan suggested. And until it's complete, it will turn green. Until it's complete, it'll stay yellow.
Oh, it should be. It's exactly how. So I'm fine with it being red, yellow, and green as long as we're accurate. I just like to see, accuracy.
I suggested that a while ago, but
Dr. Lee,
I don't communicate well. I guess I don't speak the English language good.
Well, it's also after seven, so.
So,
Dr. Lee.
So I'm going to just make a suggestion, and I'm just looking from a program or a project management perspective. I agree with the yellow, but then that, it should be yellow until you start it, right? Because when you're starting, you're actually taking action, right? But, of course, if you're giving yourself only 2 weeks to do something that takes months, you know it's going to be yellow and it's going to be red very, very quickly. So my suggestion is that if there's something that we have not began, it should be yellow. It should be, because we haven't done anything. As it, and it, yeah, yeah. Well,
bang.
Well, I'm saying if we haven't in progress could mean that you've started on it already. But if you start it, but if you started on it already, it should be green. If you haven't started on it.
I try not to micromanage, so
well, no,
I'm going to let.
I'm just trying to make it.
It's a green. They haven't done
I like what he said.
I think you're withdraw just my
verifying
comment.
It. Okay. Aren't you just verifying that what he just said?
No. It's a little different.
We're in a court of law, aren't we? Alex, Judge, Alex.
Muzzle.
The question was clear. And so it seems like this was direction from the board. It seems like to confirm the direction that going forward, we'll keep the red, yellow, green. Yellow will be for things that are in progress, not yet completed, and we'll list, you know, the updates of what it means to be in progress for that particular item.
Okay. It's good.
Good. Okay.
Is there
are you good?
Thumbs up from at least three people. So I think that's what we're gonna do.
How many thumbs do I have?
All right. Four thumbs up. Okay. Are we all clear now on what he's gonna do? We're gonna
all right. Sounds good.
Finding the red, black, and red, and green, and yellow, and white, and give them all a different name. All right. That brings us to item 9, Committee Authority Association Reports. And now we're going to hear from Stop Waste, Director Duncan.
Well, I went to my report. I went to the Innovation Award Gala in Oakland at the Henry J. Kaiser. Yeah, I had never been there since it was renovated and reopened. It's quite spectacular. And Stop Waste was granted tickets, and that's how I was able to go. And was surprised at how many, they had 40 awardees. I mean, quite a whole bunch. And from all over, I mean, from environmental to technical to you name it. But it's really, was a really a great event and put a lot of effort in it. So I did do that. And our other meeting was, before that was, we talked about the bills that we're going to support and the bills that we're going to oppose. And I don't have that with me, but I'll send it to Patricia and she can and send it to you. But that's really about what we discussed at our last meeting. And I'll keep talking until you finish chewing. So yeah, it was a you know what I found really interesting is the people who supported this innovation award were the cities. They really give money, you know, especially the cities who are financially in the hole, you know, for them to be able to support something like that. I was they take it out of a different bucket.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my report.
Thank you for your report. And I didn't report on EBDA because EBDA is on vacation in the month of whatever this month. Taxes are due next week.
No, tomorrow.
All right.
Tomorrow.
Oh, is it already tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow.
You're messed up. You're going to be up all night tonight.
Sounds like an extension is due, yes. All right, we're going to move to item 10, staff and director comments. My goodness, we're there already. Let's start with Mr. Dang and tell us how you're doing and how your family's doing, and
Thank you.
Good to be home.
Yeah, thank you for the very warm card from the board. My family is healthy. My mother is in a better place. She's still here, but she's in a better place.
Like, wow.
Still here. She's in a better location.
Okay. Location's much better.
Yes. We're still, of course, going through the grieving process of my father-in-law. Thank you again for the support. And just want to remind the board, I think it came up earlier today, next Tuesday will be the board workshop for the State of the District Finances. That will be presented by our own, very own Liliana Moreno, with my support, of course. And other than that, glad to be back.
Log. Nothing is going on.
A lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing you want to share. Anybody else on staff? Patricia, Liliana, Joe. Okay, Chatu. Still nice to have you here as well. We'll start on the end with Dr. Simon.
Thank you, staff, and nice meeting.
I have two things. I'm wondering, I emailed Patricia yesterday about, is there a possibility we could start allowing the public to do public comment in writing to us? And she advised me that's something I need to bring to the board. So is that something that...
from happening? Do you, Alex?
The public can always email any of you anytime. I think the question is, do you want the written comments on the agenda? Because the public can always email any of you or all five of you whenever it wants. But I thought the request from Director Dean is whether those written comments should be on the agenda for the rest of the public to see.
Or was the request to include language on the agenda saying, hey, if you want to submit your comment for the public hearing on May 12th, please email Patricia at Oraloma. You know,
yes, I want the public to be able to know that they can submit their comments in writing, right?
Just public hearings or for the whole meeting? I mean, for all our board meetings or just a public hearing?
I think they should be able to always give their comments in writing rather than, like, for instance, a person wanted to be here today, but he's in Portugal, and he would have loved to been able to give public comment in writing. But when I asked Patricia, she said, you know, that we have to talk about it. So
right now, like Alex said, yes, they can send in comments, but it's not a formal practice where it's incorporated or part of the public record. It's informally, you know, forwarded to the board or brought up to the board, but not in a public record way.
I think,
and there is no language on the agenda as it stands saying, hey, if you want to submit your written comment for the public record, please email or please send a...
Right, and that seems a pretty easy thing to incorporate, right? To tell people they could give us written comments?
I'm looking at you, Alex. I thought in this, and you too, Fred, at the city. Don't you do that at the city? I mean, people write in comments all the time.
Yeah.
Not formal. Like Patricia said, people just do it.
I mean, I've been at city council meetings where the clerk has said, we got an email from John Doe, and I've given everybody on the board a copy of his comments.
That's what they do. It's not waste. Right.
But she's asking for something formal on the
agenda. Are you asking to be handed out to everyone?
Agendized. So on our board meeting agenda packet, include language on how to submit. So that was the question that triggered Director Dean's email was, you know, where do we tell the public how they can submit a written comment?
Right.
And right now.
Right on here, right. Like, where it says you can come on Zoom, you can come down to our office, but it doesn't say anywhere on here that you can submit the written comments and who to send it to. And I think that's important.
You're
asking if we can put it in here to say that the public can submit comments? I don't...
Yeah, I support it.
Right?
I support it.
But it's, I thought it was already understood. They could do that.
Well, it should be understood, but it's not in writing. So
listen,
we're talking about
we're asking it to formally
make in it explicit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question. So I know I sent some letters in support of Fred, and they were not read out loud.
They're not read, but in San Leandro, it says you can submit comments in person, on Zoom, or using the e-comment thing, and those should be in the someplace in the record. You can go look at the e-comments. Someone can do that. In San Leandro.
And the stop waste, we always, when we have an item, the chairperson says, did we get any written comments or any online comments about this particular item?
Yeah, their agenda similarly. It says the public may also comment by sending an email to publiccomments@stopwaste.org. Written public comment will be accepted until 3 p.m.
Yeah,
on the day prior to the scheduled meeting.
Well, that's fine.
So we could adopt similar language. And I don't know whether we work with Tony to have public comments at oraluma.org or, something that's not just me, so that if I drop dead, anyone could reach.
I don't think that city they actually put those comments in the public agenda. So.
It's provided to the board and will be added to the official.
I think that's the place to do it, is to provide it to the board. Yes. And I don't have a problem with you changing that language and having them send copies to the board if they arrive. Does that work for you?
Thank you.
If that works for her.
Do we need thumbs up? What are we doing?
No, we don't need a thumbs up.
They'll send it to me.
What?
You're going to get it. You're going to get it. There's no
give it to you at the meeting.
I know, I'm teasing.
All right. Does everybody understand that? Mimi's okay with that concept. We'll change the language in the box. And if there's public comment given, you'll forward a copy or bring a copy to the board meeting where they're applying.
Like stop waste's language, okay?
But do not give anything to Rita ever.
I will print it out.
And Rita, Mimi has one more comment.
One more thing. I was just wondering how we go about getting an update about the trees that we were going to put in when we redid the parking lot. So we're talking about that tomorrow? Next Wednesday. All right. Yay, I'm glad it's not tomorrow, because why is it on my calendar for tomorrow?
Questions?
That's so my, yeah, when I put them in. All right. I'm so glad it's not tomorrow. I have to go to my art class. Yes, that's it.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Almost every meeting for the last year, you brought up something more you want us to do. So I'm just happy.
I know.
I'm just happy that we satisfied you.
I'm just happy this meeting done before. Eh?
I know. It's a freaking miracle.
Well, you don't have to. You don't know what I've got to say. No. No, I apologize for not wanting to get more information, but I'm just overwhelmed. I've been in meetings Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and today, and it's like, I don't know if I can internalize any more information.
Careful what you wish.
I know I'm learning that, but anyway, I think this is a very good meeting, and really enjoyed the district. Presentation and always appreciate all the work that the staff does. And again, welcome back, Jimmy. And Judge Mogg, you can have another cookie, okay? thank you.
Wonderful meeting. Jimmy, is great to see you back, right? And staff, I want to thank you for all the great work that you guys are doing and continue to do.
Thank you. I too will say a good meeting and welcome home. And I will just, for the record, let the record show that that the board did send cards to Mr. Dang and his family, to Lacey and her family, and to Roland Williams and his family. So just for the record, we should acknowledge that in our minutes. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.
I'm sorry. I also like to say that Joe did a wonderful job.
Joe did, yes.
He really did, attending the meetings and participating in it, and give him
all of
my personal accolades.